Would the House please come to order? Would the members please indicate their presence by voting? Any member failed to vote. Madam Clerk?
22 members present.
We have quorum, Madam Majority Leader.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Hayes be excused from the call of the House from 11 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. this morning.
Without objection, that member will be excused on those hours. Leading the invocation again today is Chaplain Mr. O.P. Sharma. Will the members please rise for the invocation?
Mr. Speaker, representatives, and present, all present here. It's an honor and pleasure for me to share with you the thoughts of the great philosopher Saint Sri Aurobindo, who has written, "The divine love, unlike the human, is deep and vast and silent. One must become quiet and wide to be aware of it, and reply to it. He must make it his whole object to be surrendered so that he may become a vessel and instrument, leaving it to the divine wisdom and love to fill him with what is needed. The more one gives oneself, the more the power to receive will grow." I now read the invocation of the Mother, a transcendent cosmic personality and lifetime collaborator with Sri Aurobindo in his divinely ordained work. "It is the divine presence that gives value to life. This presence is the source of all peace, all joy, all security. Find this presence in yourself, and all your difficulties will disappear. Lord, it is thy peace we would have, and not a vain simulacrum of peace. Thy freedom, and not a simulacrum of freedom. Thy unity, and not a simulacrum of unity. For it is only thy peace, thy freedom, and thy unity that can triumph over the blind violence and the hypocrisy and falsehood that still reign upon earth. Grant that those who so valiantly struggled and suffered for thy victory may see the true and genuine results of that victory realized in the world. God bless you all. God bless America."
Thank you very much, Chaplain. Representative Hogan, would you please lead us in the pledge?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative Bundy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread upon the journal.
Without objection, that prayer will be spread on the journal. Would the clerk please certify the journal for the previous legislative day?
I certify the correctness of the journal for the 116th legislative day.
Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Journal, as certified by the Chief Clerk, be approved.
Without objection, the journal has been certified. Do we have guests this morning for introduction? Seeing none, do we have messages from the governor?
There are no messages from the governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the other body?
A message dated May 9th stating the Senate has concurred in the House amendment to CS for Senate Bill 6 finance, thus adopting House CS for Senate Bill 6 judiciary, relating to required notice of eviction to mobile home park dwellers. A message dated May 9th stating the Senate has passed and returned CS for House Bill 281 Judiciary and CS for House Bill 355 CNRA. And a message dated May 9th stating the Senate has passed House Bill 381 with the following amendment. House Bill number 381, amended Senate, relating to crime of failure to stop at the direction of a peace officer, and it is returned for consideration. And a message dated May 9th stating the Senate has passed the following, and they're transmitted for consideration. CS for Senate Bill 235, State Affairs, by the Senate State Affairs Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Emergency and Disaster Relief Forces as State Employees for Purposes of Workers' Compensation Benefits relating to the Emergency Management Assistance Compact and the implementation of the compact and providing for an effective date.
Will be referred to the Rules Committee.
CS for Senate Bill 359 by the CS for Senate Bill 359 Rules by the Senate Rules Committee entitled An Act Relating to Organization Grants for Mergers, Consolidations, or Unifications Involving Third Class Boroughs and Relating to Identification by the Local Boundary Commission of Areas That Meet the Standards for Borough Incorporation.
Will be referred to the Finance Committee.
There are no further messages from the other body, Mr. Speaker.
Do we have communications?
There are no communications.
Reports of standing committees?
The Community and Regional Affairs Committee has considered committee substitute for Senate Bill 4, Rules Amended Municipal Property Tax Exemptions, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 4, CNRA, with a new title pending a concurrent resolution recommending due pass guests Gauzy, no recommendation, Kurtula, Murkowski, Halcrow, Morgan, and Meyer. The report was signed by Morgan and Meyer, co-chairs. CSS before rules, AM has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee has considered committee substitute for Senate Bill 181, Finance Amended, Small Community Housing Loans, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 181, CNRA, with the new title pending an HCR, recommending due pass, Kurtula, Murkowski, Morgan, Meyer, no recommendation, Scalzi, and Guest. The report was signed by Morgan and Meyer, co-chairs, CSSB 181, FinAM, as a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered committee substitute for Senate Bill 191 Judiciary, Insurance Pooling by Air Carriers, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 191, Labor and Commerce, with the same title, attaches a zero fiscal note, recommending due pass, rope work, no recommendation, Meyer, Hayes, Crawford, Cott, Halcrow, and Murkowski. The report was signed by Murkowski Chair. CSSB 191 Judiciary has no further referral. Transportation Committee has considered committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 226, Finance Amended, Design of Highway Projects, recommending due pass, Wilson, Scalzi, Massick, and Coring. The report was signed by Coring Chair, CSSSSB 226, FinAM, has no further referral. The Finance Committee has considered committee substitute for Senate Bill 270, Labor and Commerce, Dispensing Opticians Extend Board Regulation, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 270 Finance, with the same title, attaches a fiscal note, recommending due pass, Bundy, Whitaker, Harris, Davies, Lancaster, Hudson, Foster, and Williams. The report was signed by Williams, co-chair. CSSB 270 LNC has no further referral. Finance Committee has considered committee substitute for Senate Bill 279, Sport Fish Licenses for 9/11 Responders, recommending due pass, Bundy, Whitaker, Harris, Davies, Lancaster, Hudson, Foster, and Williams. The report was signed by Williams, co-chair. CSSB 279 Finance has no further referral. There are no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees. First, Representative Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May we have a brief at ease?
Brief at ease. Back to order. I believe we were at reports of special committees.
There are no special committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Resolutions and citations.
Citation honoring Chuck and Ann Cicera, celebrating 50 years of marriage, by Representative Murkowski. Honoring 2001 Nikiski football team by Representative Chenault and Senator Ward. Honoring the 90th anniversary of the Girl Scouts by Representatives Cortula Hudson and Senator Elton. Honoring 2002 Arctic Winter Games, Team Alaska, House Districts 3 and 4 participants by Representatives Cortula and Hudson and Senator Elton. Honoring Megan Vinke by Representatives Cortula and Hudson and Senator Elton. Honoring Aaron Clemens by Representatives Cortula and Hudson and Senator Elton. Honoring Douglas L. Gregg by Representatives Cortula, Hudson, and Senator Elton. Honoring Madeline Soboloff-Levi by Representatives Cortula, Hudson, and Senator Elton. Honoring Rob McKenzie by Representatives Cortula, Hudson, and Senator Elton. Honoring 2001 CIFC champion Juno Douglas High School Crimson Bears and the head coach of the year, Riley Rickey, by Senator Elton and Representatives Cortula and Hudson. Honoring Cheryl Baxter upon her retirement by Senator Elton and Representatives Cortula and Hudson. Honoring Howard Thomas, PEFASCE, by Senator Lehman. Honoring Robert Bob Baldwin, Alaska Engineer of the Year, by Senator Lehman. Honoring Eielson Air Force Base, 354th Fighter Wing, by Senator Caldery. Honoring Linda Rabideau by Senator Hoffman. In memoriam, W.M. Bill Burnett by Representative Chenault. In memoriam, Alice Heath by Representative Chenault. In memoriam, Sue Reeder by Representative Chenault in Lancaster. In memoriam, Irvin Diamond by Representative Chenault in Lancaster. In memoriam, Daniel Ray Little by Representative Chenault in Lancaster. In memoriam, Robert Gunther by Representative Chenault and Lancaster. In memoriam, Wilbert Geary by Representative Chenault and Lancaster. In memoriam, Cynthia Cobb by Representative Chenault and Lancaster. In memoriam, Walter J. Kovich by Representative Chenault and Lancaster. In memoriam, Ellen Harris by Representatives Cortula Hudson and Senator Elton. In memoriam, Jeanette Kelsey by Representative Cortula. In memoriam, Bernice Hugh Hurt by Representative Cortula. In memoriam, Robert Hickerson by Representatives Cortula and Berkowitz. There are no further citations or resolutions for introduction.
Do we have bills for introduction?
There are no bills for introduction.
That brings us to the consideration of the daily calendar. Without objection, I would like to move HB 519 to the bottom of the calendar. With that in mind, would the clerk please read the new item?
CS for Senate Bill 37, Finance. By the Senate Finance Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Collective Negotiation by Competing Physicians with Health Benefit Plans to Health Benefit Plan Contracts to the Application of Antitrust Laws to Agreements Involving Providers and Groups of Providers Affected by Collective Negotiations and to the Effect of the Collective Negotiation Provisions on Healthcare Providers. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 37, Labor and Commerce, with the same title, attaches two fiscal notes and 10 fiscal note, recommending do pass, Crawford, no recommendation, Roebuck, Meyer, Hayes, Halcrow, and Murkowski. The report was signed by Murkowski Chair. The Judiciary Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 37, Judiciary, with the same title, attaches a zero fiscal note recommending do not pass Berkowitz. No recommendation, Meyer, Coghill, James, Kukesh, and Rochberg. The report was signed by Rochberg Chair. The Finance Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute, House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 37 Judiciary with the same title, recommending do pass Hudson, Foster, Bundy, Williams. No recommendation, Croft and Lancaster, amend Davies. The report was signed by Williams, co-chair. There are two committee, House Committee Substitutes.
Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Judiciary Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 37 Finance be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, that committee substitute is before us. Do we have amendments? Judiciary. The Judiciary Committee substitute was adopted. Do we have amendments?
Amendment number one by Representative Halcrow to page one following line five.
Representative Halcrow.
Mr. Speaker, I move amendment number one.
Amendment number one has been moved, and there is objection, and we will wait for the discussion until we all get it. Briefities. Order. Would the House please come back to order? Representative Halcrow, discussion of amendment number one.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Before I begin discussing this amendment, I would just call members' attention to the first sentence in the sponsor statement for this bill. Senate Bill 37 attempts to level the playing field for Alaska's patients and doctors that care for them and the physicians that care for them. So what I'm going to talk to you about today is about leveling the playing field. It's about fairness. It's about equity. It's about good health for the women in this state. And it's about saving money, Mr. Speaker. Yours, mine, the state's. You know, I'm sorry to, this is a pretty substantive amendment. But I want to assure members that we've checked and it does not violate the single subject rule. And I want to apologize if any of you, if speaking on the amendment, if you feel uncomfortable. And I feel uncomfortable. I mean, look, let's face it. I'm a man standing on the floor of the House of Representatives talking about a woman's health issue. But, I mean, it is time we had this discussion. 18 states have adopted prescription equity. 24 more are looking at it. You know why? Because it's a good public policy decision. In 1998, pharmaceutical companies rolled out Viagra. In less than 2 months after Viagra was introduced in the marketplace, most every major insurance company covered it under health plans. But women's contraceptives still to this day remain not covered. We don't mandate insurance companies cover women's contraceptives. And I think it's unfortunate, because I think when you think about this bill and this amendment, I think we're doing a couple of things here today, Mr. Speaker. I think on one, we're addressing the health of the women of this state, and I think it's about time the legislature chimes in on this. And number two, we're talking about not only improving the health, but we're talking about saving money. And I'm going to go through a number of arguments in favor of this bill, and I want to tell members that in all the committees that I've heard this in this year, two different committees, there hasn't been one person that testified in opposition to this bill. Not one. In fact, Mr. Speaker, Bob Lohr, the director of the Division of Insurance, came out for the first time in my 4 years in this building, came out on record supporting this, said this is a good idea. We should do this. You know how many times I've sat in Labor and Commerce in the last 4 years and seen the division take no position, stay neutral? But on this issue, he was very clear. And who is Bob Lohr? He's our frontline guy on insurance. He sees what other states are doing. He sees the effect on public policy, on health care issues. Contraceptive devices approved by the FDA are basic health care for women. In a woman's life, she can go basically 30 years. She has a span of 30 years in her life in which she can get pregnant. The average woman has 2.3 kids, which means that most of the time, they spend their time trying to prevent getting pregnant. I mean, it just makes sense. Prescription equity helps in so many different ways. Women pay 68% more out-of-pocket costs for this. 68% more. I mean, this is a huge expense. And do you know what, Mr. Speaker? Do you know what this costs? Studies show that this costs as little as $1.43 per person per month. That's it. In fact, in my discussions with insurance providers, there are some out there that are really considering just doing this. Not only because it makes good economic sense, I mean, think about it, you're preventing an unintended pregnancy. Not only does it make good economic sense, but there was a ruling that says that not covering prescriptions violates civil rights laws. I mean, how can you say it's okay to reimburse guys for Viagra when you're not willing to extend women the same courtesy? Fairness. I mean, you know, Mr. Speaker, this is an uncomfortable conversation to have, but, you know, we need to start having these conversations. I mean, I just wish everybody could have seen the Labor and Commerce Committee a month ago. I mean, you know, the representative that sits behind me that sits on Labor and Commerce put it best. He said, you know, look at us. I mean, we're like five guys sitting around a table talking about a woman's health care issue. We don't know anything about this. We don't know anything about this but the facts. And the facts are very clear. It promotes good health, and it saves money. I mean, the facts are very clear. And everything else is pure ideology. And I'm tired of ideology trumping facts. I mean, you know, I mean, think about this. I'm amending a bill that grants physicians rights and privileges. We're granting rights and privileges to physicians, but to the women of this state, you know, we've yet to take a position on that. And I think that's unfortunate. I know this is a very tough issue, once again. But I know this issue has a lot of support on this floor, Mr. Speaker. And if nothing else, the House of Representatives sends a message that we respect women. We want to improve their health. And we realize that this has an opportunity to actually save money. This makes good health sense. It makes good fiscal sense. And I really hope we can get past the ideology. Representative from District 30, it's funny, he made a comment in that same committee meeting. He said, I always find it fascinating how when we get men's health care issues like prostate cancer screening and other things introduced, they just seem to fly through this building. But when it comes to difficult subjects with regards to women's health issue, prescription equity as we're talking about here, breast and cervical cancer, you know, it seems, he said, I think his quote was, it seems like we're addressing it always on the 121st day. And he's absolutely right. And it's time to change that. It's time to say we care, we recognize this is a good business decision, and we want to improve the health of the women of this state. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Brief at ease. Well, no, we got it covered. Will the House please come back to order? Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I rule that the amendment that we have before us is not germane under Rule 402 of Mason's.
The point of order by the Majority Leader is that the amendment number one is not germane under Rule 402. I concur with that position, and it is my determination that it is not a germane amendment. Representative Velcro.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, Mr. Speaker, I respectfully disagree. Let me repeat the facts.
Mr. Velcro.
I'm sorry.
Representative Velcro.
Yes.
We'll get at it, but
okay.
My ruling is not debatable, but if you appeal my ruling, then it is debatable.
I appeal your ruling.
Representative Velcro.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Apologize. Mr. Speaker, I disagree that this is not germane. Let's review the facts here. Legislative legal stated that this does not violate the single subject rule. And I would simply point the members to two lines on SB 37 sponsor statement. The first line in the title, an act relating to health benefit plan contracts. This amendment states that health benefit plan contracts must cover women's FDA-approved contraceptives. Completely germane. Then, I would point you to the first sentence of the sponsor statement. We're attempting to level the playing field for Alaska's patients, and the physicians who care for them. Right there. Doesn't violate the single subject rule. It's in the title. And it's the sponsor's intent, clearly, in his sponsor statement, to level the playing field. This is germane. It's very germane. And it's important to the health of the women of this state.
Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I'd rise to object to the previous calculation and explain my reasoning as to why I believe this is not germane. And in the first instance, where the previous speaker indicated that this is an act relating to health benefit plans, that is a sub phrase from to collective negotiating by competing physicians with. And so it's taken it out of context. I agree that it does fall within the title, and that is not the issue that supports the issue of germaneness. This particular piece of legislation is according to a specific chapter, and the amendment is an entirely different chapter. It is a different subject in that regard as germaneness to the effort that is being put forth in the bill itself. And so I would urge folks to support the ruling of the chair on this issue as it not being germane.
Mr. Minority Leader?
Just if I could read briefly from Section 402, amendments must be germane. It's on page 148 of my copy of Mason's. It says, to be germane, the amendment is required only to relate to the same subject. It may entirely change the effect of the motion or measure and still be germane. So there might be other grounds to object to this, Mr. Speaker, but germaneness certainly isn't one.
Representative Davies.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, it's plainly germane. It is under the title. It doesn't even require a title change, let alone a significant amendment. So it just on the face of it couldn't be more germane.
Further discussion. Motion before the body is to sustain the ruling of the chair regarding amendment number one not being germane to the bill. Members may proceed to vote. Will the clerk please lock the roll? Would any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
22 26 yeas, 13 nays.
So the ruling of the chair is sustained, and amendment number one is found to be not germane and out of order. Madam Clerk.
Amendment number two by Representative Halcrow to page 7, line 18.
Representative Halcrow.
Amendment number two.
There is objection. Representative Halcrow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, when SB 37 was first introduced, it covered all insurance plans. And now, through changes through the process, basically singles out one provider. This one provider is currently supporting 80% of the healthcare market in this state. And I think it's unfair that we have singled out a provider that, Mr. Speaker, provides health insurance plans to Alaska small business. I think there's been sufficient testimony, and we can certainly get to that when we get to the merits of the bill. But I think there is sufficient testimony to be worried that this bill, as it is written, will drive up the cost of health care in this state. And I think this amendment is fair. It removes the last remaining health insurance provider. And I think it's the right thing to do. I think basically what we've done is we've dropped everybody off the wagon except one last guy, and he's the one that's providing most of the policies for small businesses in this state. And I think we ought to do this.
Representative Halcrow. Brief adieus. Order. Further discussion of amendment number two, Representative Bundy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, Mr. Speaker, I think there may be some other folks that could negotiate, but I believe the maker of the amendment said that this would remove the last remaining one. I'm not sure that's quite true, but it would remove the largest entity. And so while I don't know if I would say this amendment guts the bill, in light of what we've been talking about, it certainly emasculates it.
Representative Bundy. Any further discussion of amendment number two? In wrap-up, Representative Halcrow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, if there was ever a bill in need of emasculating, this was one. Mr. Speaker, if you could grant me a little leeway here, I think it's important. I mean, look at this amendment. How does this amendment fix, Freudian slip there. How does this amendment affect the bill? This bill allows physicians to get together and negotiate with themselves before negotiating with a health care insurance provider. I mean, does anybody understand the words antitrust? This amendment removes the last health care insurance provider, the one provider that provides a majority of small business in this state with insurance coverage for their employees. This removes them from being able to being affected by this bill. I mean, think about this. Think about what this bill will do if we do not approve this amendment. You're going to say, yeah, get together, talk about benefits. Plan benefits. I mean, what's to a plan benefit? Reimbursement and at what level? I mean, there's very few things to discuss here that they can't already discuss. I mean, this amendment protects the one insurance provider that's still in this state, that's still actively out there marketing and recruiting business. I mean, you know how small business in Alaska makes up the economy. 75% of the businesses registered in this state are registered as small business, are classified as small business. So, I mean, what we're doing, if we don't adopt this amendment, what we're doing is we're saying, well, you can certainly look forward to your health care costs going up in the next couple of years. I mean, you know, I mean, it's ironic to me because yesterday we just dealt with a health care funding issue, said we couldn't afford to pay our bill. I mean, this amendment is important. We heard testimony over and over again in the Labor and Commerce Committee from the Federal Trade Commission. The Federal Trade Commission weighed in on this bill. You know, Mr. Speaker, I mean, I'm 0 for 1 today, but my thought is, you know, if we can't protect the health of women in this state, maybe we can protect small businesses' insurance costs.
President Valdro, any discussion? Ready for the question? The question before the body is the adoption of Amendment Number 2. Members may proceed to vote. Please lock the roll. Would any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
10 yeas, 29 nays.
So Amendment Number 2 has failed to pass the House. Does the clerk have other amendments?
Amendment Number 3 by Representative Murkowski, beginning page 1, line 14.
Representative Murkowski.
Mr. Speaker, I move Amendment Number 3.
There is objection. Representative Murkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The legislation that you have in front of you is lacking in one very key area from when it was first sent over from the other body, and that's in the area of allowing physicians to negotiate with regards to fees. When it came over to us, it had that provision in it. It was that provision that prompted me as chair of the Labor and Commerce Committee to ask the FTC for an advisory on Senate Bill 37 as it came over to the House. And the advisory came back, and quite honestly, it was pretty scathing in terms of the antitrust violations that they saw as a result of that. And it all related to the ability to discuss fee-related terms. All to fee-related terms. And so what we did in that committee was we deleted those provisions that related to fees and the ability of physicians to negotiate with regards to those fees. They can still negotiate with terms as they relate to quality of care. So what you have before you in the bill now are those quality of care issues. What we didn't address, or what we omitted in Labor and Commerce, was the intent section. And in that intent section, which is what this amendment speaks to, there are two references to fee-related terms. Quite honestly, it was an oversight in Labor and Commerce. When it went on to the next committee of referral, they also didn't pick it up. And what I'm doing with this amendment is to have the intent language conform to the body of the bill. I'd encourage members' support.
Representative Murkowski. Representative Croft.
It is just intent language, so maybe it's not that important, but it seems like the second part of the amendment is entirely appropriate. That is, it deletes the language saying the legislature finds it's appropriate to have negotiations on fee-related issues. We shouldn't say that if the bill doesn't talk about and authorize fee-related issues. But the first one was a little confusing me. If I can read the sentence as it stands in the bill, would you mind, Mr. Speaker?
Without objection.
Yeah. The sentence we're amending in that first part of the amendment: the legislature finds that permitting physicians to engage in collective negotiations over fee-related terms may, in some circumstances, yield anti-competitive effects. That's true. It's the very concern that led to the bill being changed in that way. So it seems to me that we shouldn't take out that first one. That's an accurate statement of our concerns that led us to not include it in the bill. And I just wanted to, I guess, ask that. Am I missing something there? I didn't hear this in any depth that did go through our committee, but a lot of testimony. And it seemed like we should leave the first part but delete the second one in the amendment.
Mr. Minority Leader.
Well, it gives me some pleasure to disagree with the prior speaker. And it might give some of you some pleasure as well. But it seems to me that it's necessary to strike that over fee-related terms. For example, if you had a group of physicians who were specialists in a particular area of medicine and they got together and talked about who was going to provide services without expressly mentioning fees, maybe just talking about what services were going to be provided, you could, in essence, corner the market on that service without expressly discussing fees.
Representative Brookberg, and then Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I just want to reflect what the member from Government Hill said in terms of the committee culpability of not catching it, and agree with the Minority Leader.
Madam Majority Leader.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I find that taking this language out does other things to the language in the legislative findings. If this is a problem, which I haven't agreed to or not to at this point in time, I think that it needs more fix than that or some different fix than that. I don't necessarily believe that this fixes it. It makes a sentence that doesn't make an awful lot of sense. So.
Brevities. Would the House please come to order? We'll stand at ease in place, please, while we get one more little thing taken care of. Representative Murkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to amend my own amendment, if I may, and that would delete the reference to page 1, line 14, just eliminate that altogether so that the amended amendment would now read, deleting at page 2, lines 7 and 8, the reference to on fee-related and other issues.
Motion before the body is to amend the amendment by deleting the page 1 reference. Is there objection? Without objection, the amendment has been amended, and we have amendment number 3 as amended before us. Is there discussion? And the objection is removed. Are there any other objections? If not, amendment number 3 as amended has been adopted. Does the clerk have any other amendments?
I have no further amendments.
Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 37, Judiciary, as amended, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There is objection. This bill will appear on third reading tomorrow. Please retain your copies so that they do not have to be reissued. Would the clerk please read the next item?
CS for Senate Bill 140 Finance by the Senate Finance Committee entitled An Act Relating to Regulation and Licensing of Certain Water Power Development Projects and Providing for an Effective Date. The Resources Committee considered the bill, recommending do pass Stevens, Green, Chenault, Massac, and Scalzi. No recommendation for Tula and Kapsner. The report was signed by Massac and Scalzi co-chairs. The Finance Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 140, Finance, with the same title, recommending do pass Bundy, Harris, Lancaster, Hudson, Foster, and Williams. No recommendation, Croft. The report was signed by Williams co-chair. There's one House Committee Substitute.
Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Finance Committee Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 140 Finance be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, we have the Finance Committee Substitute before us. Do we have amendments?
I have no amendment.
Madam Majority Leader.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 140 Finance be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Objection. There is objection. This bill will appear on tomorrow's calendar in third reading. Would members please retain their copies? Would the clerk please read the next item?
CS for Senate Bill 326, financed by the Senate Finance Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Evaluating State Assumption of Wastewater Discharge Program under the Federal Clean Water Act, providing for an effective date. Finance Committee considered the bill, recommending do pass Harris, Lancaster, Hudson, Foster, Williams. No recommendation, Bundy and Croft. A fiscal note was attached. The report was signed by Williams, co-chair. There are no amendments, Mr. Speaker.
Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for Senate Bill 326 Finance be considered in most advanced to third reading and placed on final passage.
Jack. There is objection. This also will appear on tomorrow's calendar and third. Please retain your copies. And Madam Clerk, the next item.
Senate Bill 356, amended by the Senate State Affairs Committee, entitled An Act Relating to the Authority of the Department of Environmental Conservation to Issue General and Individual Permits for Wastewater for Waste Disposal and Providing for an Effective Date. The Resources Committee considered the bill, recommending do pass Stevens, McGuire, Fate, Chenault, Massick, and Scalzi. No recommendation, Cutula and Kapsner. Report was signed by Massick and Scalzi, co-chairs. There's no amendments.
Briefities. Please come to order. Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 356 amended be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There is objection. Also, third reading tomorrow. Retain the copy. Madam Clerk.
House CS for CS for Senate Bill 302, Hess, entitled An Act Defining the Term Mental Health Professional for the Purpose of Statutes Relating to the Evaluation of Prisoners Who May Need Psychological or Psychiatric Treatment, for the Purpose of Statutes Relating to the Evaluation of Children in Need of Aid and Delinquent Minors Who May Need to Be Confined in a Secure Residential Psychiatric Treatment Center or Who Should Be Released from Such a Center, for the Purpose of Statutes Requiring Certain Professionals to Report the Possibility that a Vulnerable
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill does two things. It responds to an ongoing need we have for some trained mental health professionals, particularly in remote areas of Alaska, to be able to do some temporary, take some temporary actions to deal with mental health problems. Typically does come up in, if someone is potentially incompetent or a danger to themselves and others, and they need to be transported to town to be, appear before a magistrate for that. If there's no one licensed in the area, that can't be done, and we have to go through the subterfuges of figuring out some reason to arrest them and take them to town. And it really is ducking a more difficult problem. What this bill does is extend the list of people who are licensed and therefore authorized to make those decisions, and spells that out. It includes, and these are all folks who are master's level, who have clinical experience, and all of the actions that we are authorizing here would be very short-term things, that, and I think we always need to be careful about watching what we do with involuntary commitments and so on. But these are very 72 hours at the most until the person can be brought before a magistrate to take action. I'd be glad to answer some questions. And I must state for the record that my wife's profession is in one of the categories that's being added here, but she has an additional license that already qualified her, so there's probably no way that she would benefit any more, although she does make the most money in her family. Easily.
Representative Dyson. Any further discussion? Representative Crawford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I do have to
rise to declare a conflict because my wife is a mental health professional.
There's an objection. Thank you for the record, but you will be required to vote. Any further discussion? Ready for the question? Question before the body. Michelle House, committee substitute. The committee substitute for SB 302 Hess. Pass the House. Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Would any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
36 yeas, one nay.
So House committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill 302 Hess has passed the House. We will, at this time, take a recess to call the chair.
Reconsideration of my vote on SB 302.
Reconsideration has been given on SB 302. Representative Wilson?
I would like to make an introduction. Can we roll back the calendar?
Without objection, we're on the introduction of guests.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to introduce a couple in the Bradovich Gallery. It's Bill and Helen Craig from Sitka, if they would rise.
Now, we will take a recess to the call of the chair and form, I hope, immediately, and have a majority caucus. We are in recess. House, please come back to order. Mr. Majority / Minority Leader.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House stand in adjournment until 11 o'clock tomorrow, May 11th, 2002.
We are adjourned.